Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Harriet Robinson, and this is The Art of Air Pollution. I'm meeting the passionate individuals searching for solutions that are driving positive change in our world. Every single day, around 2,000 children die from air pollution. Only just trailing heart disease, it's the world's second biggest killer, taking more than 8 million victims each year.
It's always and always hot, whether it's the day or it's the night, and there's so much of dust around.
Now, the fight against air pollution is increasingly catching the imagination of artists and designers.
Things that are often very difficult to explain to people, and sometimes things that are not visible to people, art makes that visible.
We meet the creative projects literally stripping pollutants from the atmosphere and transforming them into something rather wonderful, whilst at the same time creating a movement.
We started to produce smog-free rings from this compressed, incredibly disgusting smog particles. We have now a waiting list of 3,244 people.
Pollution is particularly high in Abu Dhabi, where of late the air has been considered safe for just one in every 10 days. One solution being offered to the UAE's capital is a 7-metre-high, 4-metre-wide smog-free tower. This aluminium structure purifies the air in public spaces. The Dutch artist behind it is Daan Roosgaard, who, along with his organisation Studio Roosgaard, has designed a series of urban innovations, including a bike that cleans the air around you as you pedal, biodegradable fireworks and rings made out of smog.
I remember being in Beijing many, many years ago, looking outside the window of my room, and one day I could literally not even see the other side of the street, because it was so polluted. The smog was everywhere. Although it was a tragic experience, as a designer, I immediately start to think, how can I use this as a tool? And I think that's sort of where the idea for the smog-free tower initiated in my brain.
And how did the towers work?
The smog-free tower came from, how can we use technology to literally build the largest smog vacuum cleaner that sucks up polluted air, cleans it, and releases the purified air. So at least we have a place, a park in the city, which is cleaner than the rest of the polluted city.
Now, some of the smog-free towers are temporary installations, but you've just launched a permanent one in Abu Dhabi, haven't you?
Yeah, correct. We've teamed up with the Environment Agency in Abu Dhabi, which is on a very strong mission to provide better environments for its citizens. And we're very excited to have installed the first smog-free tower in the Middle East and being in a public area, in a public park there. We're going to do a lot more with them. Like, you know, when you talk about the future of cities or when you talk about a smart city, so many people automatically think about self-driving cars or blockchain or sensors, which is all true, right? But what about clean air, right? Or why can't we see the stars anymore? So I think, you know, the smog-free tower is an example of our future values, where clean air and clean energy are integrated in that future city, in that smart city.
Dr. Hatem Abshamala, a professor of environmental health and safety at Abu Dhabi University, has travelled to the island where the tower sits. His research focuses on developing green technologies and reducing the emissions from waste.
As of the latest data, air pollution in Abu Dhabi remains a concern. The sources of these pollutants come from energy generation for houses, for industries, and also vehicular emissions. Oil industry as well.
With its vast sand deserts, mountains and salt plains, Abu Dhabi has a fairly unique geography, and its air quality index regularly reaches over 100, which the World Health Organization deems unsafe levels of pollution.
Periodic spikes occur due to regional factors such as dust storms and vehicular emissions. Environmental effects can include damage to vegetation, reduced agricultural productivity and degradation of ecosystems. And pollution contributes to climate change. The smog-free tower here in Abu Dhabi, it is currently in Al Hudayrat Island in the western part of Abu Dhabi city. It's very promising for Abu Dhabi environmental sustainability efforts. Its effectiveness and scalability need careful evaluation, consider local climate conditions and operational costs. I believe artists, governments and scientists can collaborate more effectively by fostering interdisciplinary dialogue and partnership. By promoting mutual respect and understanding of each other's perspectives, these collaborations can generate innovative solutions, enhance public awareness and drive meaningful change towards sustainable development.
I think it's so weird that we live in a world where to pollute is for free. And what was interesting in Beijing in China when we launched the first tower, after a couple of days, I saw Chinese people walking around with little glass bottles. And they were capturing clean air that the smog-free tower was producing and were selling it on the market three streets away. And for example, in Poland, which was heavily polluted because of industry and the coal, we placed it in Jordan Park. And suddenly I realized like we had tens of these little dogs hanging around the smog-free tower. They could smell the clean air from far, far away. And they all started to abandon their owners and hang around the tower. And their little tail was pointing upwards. They were happy.
I love the idea that people are walking around and bottling this clean air and that the dogs are being attracted to it as well, which is amazing. Yeah. So how much cleaner is the air in this area around the smog-free tower?
The tower that we've now designed sucks up 30,000 cubic meter per hour. Capturing the PM2.5, PM10, the ultra-fine particles that get deep into our body, running on solar energy. It uses very little power, less than a small water boiler, and then releases the purified air. And we know that in an area of the size of a soccer stadium, more or less, you can create places which are 20 to 70% more clean than the rest of the city. So we realized that we had buckets of smog, and we believe waste should not exist. And so we started to put this black powder that we've captured under a microscope. And we realized like 40 to 80% is carbon. Carbon under high pressure, you get diamonds. And so we started to produce smog-free rings from this compressed, incredibly disgusting smog particles. And so by sharing a ring, you donate 1,000 cubic meter of clean air to the city where that tower is in. And in the beginning, people said, nobody's going to wear pollution on his or her finger, right? But we have now a waiting list of 3,244 people.
Hi, my name is Deepak Panjwani. This is my wife, Chloe Stein.
Hi, I'm Chloe.
We're both from New Jersey, and we got engaged with the smog-free ring.
Yeah, Deepak proposed while we were on a trip in Sweden.
We had both seen this ring together actually on social media quite a few months before, and I just made a note of it.
The feeling that I got when Deepak proposed with the smog-free ring was just one of so much love, because I knew that we were making a decision to start the rest of our lives together in such a beautiful way that was not just about the ring. It wasn't about a diamond on my hand. It was about creating a better world for us and for future generations.
Dan, I just wondered, obviously it's doing something amazing, but what's the actual carbon footprint of making the smog-free tower and transporting it to its final location?
To be honest, when we built the first one, we were just happy to have built it, to make it work. So that was something, in all honesty, that became more important later on, right? Like how can we reduce the carbon footprint? How can we optimize the shipment? How can we maybe use existing materials or local materials to produce it? In the upcoming smog-free towers, this is way, way, way more integrated to make it carbon neutral and to, you know, design the whole cycle.
So just sticking on that then, how long is the tower set to last and what happens to it afterwards? Like, is there a plan to recycle and reuse the parts of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's designed and engineered from durable materials, so it should last for 10, 20, 30 years for sure. There will be a new series of smog-free towers, and all your questions are exactly hitting the things we're going to address and improve.
And I hear that you're in talks to take smog-free towers to India and Mexico and hopefully bring more to the UAE as well. So when you're organising this with local authorities and government officials, what do they tell you are the biggest issues surrounding air pollution?
Well, you see that the impact of air pollution is, of course, quality of life, right? So you live 5 to 10 years shorter, your lungs get attacked. But also there are many scientific research that really specify an increase in crime if the air pollution is too high.
Dan's right. There are plenty of papers showing high rates of crime that coincide with a rise in air pollution levels. What, of course, has been studied more thoroughly is the impact pollution has on our health. And it's not just our physical well-being, but our mental health that can also be affected.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joanne Newbury from the University of Bristol. And my research investigates the link between urban living, air pollution and mental health. Overall, we found that higher exposure to air pollution, particularly nitrogen dioxide and fine particulate matter, is associated with worse mental health, both in the short term and long term. In our most recent study, we investigated whether prenatal exposure and early life exposure to air pollution could affect mental health many years later in adolescence and early adulthood. And we found that those who had experienced higher exposure had more psychotic experiences between the ages of 13 and 24. And prenatal exposure to fine particulate matter was also associated with more depression. It's important to highlight that air pollution by itself is unlikely to be a sufficient cause of mental health problems, but air pollution is an extremely pervasive exposure, with 9 out of 10 people breathing unsafe air globally. So it's a key target that could be tackled to potentially improve mental health for the whole population.
Dan, you told me that there are not many designers and artists working with pollution. Why do you think that is?
Maybe because it's a big topic. But therefore, we need designers or creators to make it small. And one of them, which we encountered, was Air Ink, which actually creates ink from smog. So I do hope that more designers or engineers or entrepreneurs in general will embrace the beauty of clean air and incorporate it in their designs and decisions.
What is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent, it was controlling, it was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service with me, Harriet Robinson, and we're exploring the art of air pollution. I wanted to hear more about Air Ink, the project Dan mentioned, especially as its founders are from Delhi. The city was named the world's most polluted capital in 2023.
We have allergens. We keep seeing dust effects on our lungs. We have coughs.
It's something which has been affecting us for way too many years now.
Globally, air is considered safe to breathe if it has 12 to 15 micrograms per cubic metre of the PM2.5 particle. Delhi's reading in 2023 was 92.7. Lung experts say breathing this toxic air equates to smoking 25 to 30 cigarettes a day.
You will see it right in front of your eyes. You start feeling it in your nose. We do face breathing challenges during the winters.
That's Nikhil Kaushik. He's the CEO and co-founder of Gravity Labs, who've come up with a creative way of capturing that pollution and turning it into a product used by artists and designers around the world, helping to contribute to a growing movement of artist activists.
So the initial idea for Airing itself came from my co-founder, Anirudh. He's an innovator and came up with an idea that, hey, maybe just like how we use candle soot to do basic mascara in India, or, you know, how when you have diesel generators, whenever they are static and running, they leave a footprint on the walls nearby. Maybe we can just use the same idea to use pollution and do something about it. It converted into using carbon emissions and making inks and paints out of that.
Okay, so how do you take pollution and turn it into ink?
We often talk about something that we refer to as smog or PM2.5. And that emission is what affects this part of the world much worse. It could be a variety of reasons, older technologies, you know, bad quality fuel, incomplete combustion. But we have a very large footprint when it comes to PM2.5 emissions. So we started collaborating with small factories who are emitting those emissions. And once we are able to sequester those emissions, once you scrape it out, what is left is primarily a very carbon-rich pigment, which we are using as a replacement of carbon black in ink making process. So what conventionally happens is when you have a black ink with you, it is made by using carbon black as a coloring agent. Now what we are doing is we are removing the carbon black, which in itself is a fossil fuel based product, and using this, you know, residual carbon emission as a coloring agent.
How much pollution is actually taken out of the atmosphere?
So let's say I have a 1 liter of a conventional ink and it has about 30% pigment in it, which is about, let's say, 300 grams. Now, when I make Air Ink, you are replacing the 300 grams of carbon emissions. So when you make, let's say, about 3 tons of Air Ink, that is about 1 ton of CO2 or carbon emissions going away out of the air, completely packed and imprinted on a paper. So it is never going into your breath ever again.
And the poor air quality in Delhi has a really detrimental effect on people who live there.
So my name is Jyoti Kamal. I stay here in Delhi. So there's been a vast difference from what I have seen now that I've turned 50. It's always and always hot, whether it's the day or it's the night. And there's so much of dust around. You cannot feel the freshness if you come back after staying outside for at least a couple of hours. That's a big, big change. We can't actually enjoy the environment anymore.
So, Nikhil, you have this amazing innovative product. Who's using it?
A lot of people. In the last few years, we have worked with companies like Diageo. We have worked with companies like Pengaya, MasterCard. We have done pilots with, you know, Dell. In addition to that, a lot of designers, artists across the world have used these things. There are people who are using them consistently. And it's very important that it's not just big brands who are using this, but also that individuals in their personal capacities are adopting such solutions, because that's where you get the length and breadth of the markets covered and you are getting more deeper into people's psyche that you can use sustainable products in your day-to-day life.
Hi, I'm Noosh. I'm an artist and a designer art director. I have a company, Alt 8, and I'm based in Amsterdam. I'm here now in my studio making a bit of drawings. So I made my first big drawing here in Amsterdam, and I worked with an ink that I really did not like. And somehow I found Air Ink that just started their company. And I thought, whoa, that is great. I hope this is a good material, because also conceptually it fits to what I do. And I tried it out and it was like perfect. I also liked much the quality of it. It's very, very black. The fact that the black is made of something gross, to me, is amazing. So when I found this ink, I thought, why is it not everywhere? Why is not every pen filled with ink made of pollution? Why are we burning other things to create this black when actually it's already there, you know? But it's just a little bit more expensive, like 10 times more expensive than the other ones, basically. And that is also why not everybody is using it. So somehow we should try to make it accessible for everyone.
Nikhil, Noosh talked there about air ink being quite expensive. How can you make it more affordable?
The more volumes we make, the prices come down for us. It is also important to understand that ink, for example, an artist like Noosh will may use versus the ink that a company like Diageo may use. These are two completely different products for us. So it's not just that we need an overall scale, but we also need scaling for each of those products to get the prices down. And when it comes to supporting, especially artists, we try to reduce the price even artificially sometimes because we want them to be able to keep doing this. But yes, it is something that we are very much aware of and we are working on it.
Well, you also work with local communities in Delhi. So tell me about some of the work that's being done locally to combat pollution.
I think post-COVID, we have seen a lot of pickup in terms of community action. And somehow we were able to always be linked to that because earring gets used by a lot of artists. And one of such action which I have been involved with is Art Leon, which is run by Nilanjan and couple of his friends, and they are doing some very interesting work in Delhi where they are working with school students, helping them understand how innovation works when it comes to climate change and engaging not just the students but the whole community around them in their village and giving them, I think, more tools to achieve their own personal solutions or maybe create their own solutions for that limited community space rather than just thinking in macro terms. And I think that's great because you don't really have to wait for the governments to do that.
Hello, my name is Nilanjan Chakravarti, and I, along with Mr. Vikas Garg, are the founding partners of an organization called Art Loon. We are an artist collective, and currently our project is all on environment, and we are advocating for sustainability living. We have collaborated with, policymakers, we have collaborated with local NGOs. In this project, we worked with a local village, which is in Noida. That's a suburb here in Delhi. The people who are from that village, they are very much worried about their sort of local problems. I mean, if you ask me, art is really important. I might be biased here, but I've always found that art is a very potent medium to spread a message. Art pieces have created revolutions in the past. I think we are very hopeful because I think there is a lot of awareness. You know, regular people, once they sort of realize that there is something that needs to be done, that is where the action starts to happen.
Nikhil, obviously sustainability is at the forefront of everything you do. So I'm just wondering how much thought is put into other parts of the product like packaging and shipping.
So there are times when we say no to a particular project because we know the carbon footprint of the shipping itself will render the whole project not that beneficial. In some cases, we do ignore those numbers because the idea is to take the idea to different people. But when it comes to volumes, we are very much aware that, yes, there are cases where our product may not make sense at this stage. But that is where we're at this stage. We could maybe localize the production and get rid of this whole problem and nip it in the bud itself.
You've already got some pretty major names using air ink already. I mean, what's next for the next few years?
The goal is simple. More sales means more production for our product, means more carbon savings versus a conventional ink. We have still a long way to cover before we say we are making a good tangible impact in this whole climate change fight. The impact is going to come only when we do those volumes. I think the goal is not to exist. For any climate change solution, that is the ultimate goal, that you are not required. And I hope all of us, including Erin, reach that goal someday.
Of course, smog-free towers and pollutant-based inks are not going to bring an end to air pollution, but small actions inspire bigger change. And like Nikhil, Nilanjan, Noosh and Dan have said, the power of art should not be underestimated. I'll leave the final word to Dan from Rosegard Studios. Thanks for listening. I'm Harriet Robinson, and this has been the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I want to live in a world where I'm a grandfather, right? And my grandkids come to me and say, "Grandfather, what did you do when you were young?" And I said, "We designed and built these clean air towers, which capture pollution and then, create clean air parks." And then the kid would ask, "What's pollution?"
Oh.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent. It was controlling. It was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.